What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. Another Thursday, another episode of Simply Sessions with our good friend, the soon-to-be streak-tipped Nico from Simply Bitcoin, coming to fill us in. Very excited. We're going to chat all kinds of stuff. The White House getting spicy with Bitcoin. Some presidential candidates that are actually anti-CBDC, all kinds of interesting stuff going down. And the banks are doing banking fiat type things. Lots of stuff to discuss today. Anyways, this is live. Of course, anything can happen. So I defer to my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Thing sucks.
Yeah. If you have not already, like, subscribe, share, all those things, super important. Shout out to those of you in the chat and shout out to everybody watching from Simply's channel. And I am Ben with the BTC Sessions. This is your daily session.
Huddle the Bitcoin.
Before we bring in Nico, let's take a look at where we are in the market right now. This is timechaincalendar.com. We're sitting at $28,866 per coin. A single US dollar will pick you up 3,464 sats. In terms of fees, guys, it's been all over the place lately. We've seen spikes to like well north of 100 sats per byte, 150 sats per byte. And then we see lulls. Like right now, we're looking at 26 sats per byte next block. But with these numbers, I mean, don't take anything for granted. Use RBF. Get yourself some funds on Lightning for your day-to-day expenditures and just plan ahead a little bit. And in terms of Bitcoin that have been mined, 92.21%, 19.36 million of them. Mempool, purging anything below 3 sats per byte. We've got 606 megabytes worth of transactions in the backlog. Shout out to sponsors of the show, HODL.com. If you're stacking sats and you've got a few priorities in mind, peer-to-peer trading, instant self-custody, no KYC, all those things to me, very important. Well, you can sign up for HODL in minutes with nothing more than an email address and be stacking non-KYC sats in no time at all. Super easy. Scroll down, choose a currency, choose a payment method, choose an amount, and start viewing offers right away. They also have a peer-to-peer lending platform in which nothing is ever rehypothecated, so you can check that out too. HODL.com, link below. Now, when you get those non-KYC sats, you're probably going to want to get them in the best damn hardware on the market and secure those sats. So check out CoinKite. I love my cold card Mark IV. I've got a workshop coming up on it soon. Going to Miami soon. But nonetheless, they've got all kinds of awesome stuff. Love the Mark IV. Love the tap signer, the sats card. Awesome other stuff like block clocks, open dimes. And coming soon this year, the cold card Q1 looks insane. If you want to reserve it or grab any of these other things, head to coinkite.com. Use code BTC Sessions for 5% off everything in the store. Now, if you're looking to go beyond single sig options for security and maybe you're diving into multi-sig, check out the assisted multi-sig setup from Nunchuck, the Honey Badger option. This is the simplest way to set up your multi-sig. It's all done via mobile on the mobile app. It works with things like the cold card and the tap signer and a ton of other mobile options or easily mobile options, other hardware. Everything is done for you. You can walk through everything. They hold a just-in-case key. It's super simple to use. And on top of that, No KYC to use this. It differentiates it from the other options out there on the market. Love these guys. Love Nunchuck. Even just as a day-to-day wallet, badass. Check them out, nunchuck.io, and check out the Honey Badger plan. And finally, love my guys over at Start9, your sovereign computing solution. You can build your entire Bitcoin stack on this thing with one of their devices, with one of their embassy devices. You can set up Bitcoin Core, Lightning, mempool.space, join market, a ton of other Bitcoin tools. You can host your data, files, passwords, photos, all of that stuff. You can also host Nostr relays and Nostr clients on this thing. It's a beast. You can get the Embassy One, that's your entry level, or the Embassy Pro if you're looking to go a little bit more hardcore and host everything on this thing. And with that, I'm going to stop my rambling. By the way, head to start9.com. We need to bring in our buddy today. Here he comes. Mr. Nico. How you doing, man?
Dude, I woke up this morning and I saw something in my hair, and I went to the mirror, bro, and I had a blonde hair coming out.
Did you pluck it?
I plucked it because I was like, no, I can't ruin it. It has to be brown. It has to be untouched.
Happen all at once. It's suddenly, what is it? Gradually, then suddenly, it's wanting to happen, and then suddenly, bam, full screen. It's gonna happen. That's how it works, man.
Yeah, man. I'm super pumped. I'm gonna be cutting my hair too, getting rid of the long hair, and it's gonna be interesting. I don't know what hairstyle I'm gonna come up with.
I'm not even gonna recognize you. You're hitting the gym. You're dyeing your hair. You're cutting it. You're doing all kinds of things. So it's just you're gradually becoming like
I'm gradually becoming Ben.
Yeah. What you need to do is you basically need to cut your hair like me, dye the hair on the opposite side, so it's just like a mirror, and then we can just like mirror each other's movements as we show. Did this guy double himself up?
Oh man.
Amazing. Let's redecorate. Let's get Awesome. So what's on your mind? What's going on this week? There's a lot. Dude,
a lot. It's pretty crazy week. But I mean, I feel like we say that every week, Ben.
Because there's always a lot.
there's always a lot. Anyways, let's start with Michael Saylor's Vindication. Let's do that.
Awesome. This is him on, there he is. Okay, here we go.
So let's talk a little bit about earnings, because in your core software business, software licenses revenue climbed 23%, subscription services revenue up 46%. But really the focus from the market, as per usual, since MicroStrategy is the largest publicly traded holder of Bitcoin, is the fact that your impairment loss for Bitcoin was so much smaller than it has been in recent quarters. Walk me through the results and the flywheel between these two companies within the company.
Sure. We have progressively built up a Bitcoin position up to 140,000 Bitcoin over the past 2.5 years. When Bitcoin traded from 66,000 all the way down to 16,000, we took an impairment loss. In the course of the last 12 weeks, that Bitcoin position has traded up $2 billion in fair market value. So, of course, when it's trading down, there are tax consequences and indefinite intangible write-offs. But when it's trading up, we get we reverse some of the tax accounting. The indefinite intangible treatment hasn't changed any. But I think the short of it is the software business is very stable and it's a cash cow. And we use it to pay our interest on our debt and to acquire more Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin itself is our belief that Bitcoin is the ultimate digital scarcity network. And because Bitcoin has been moving up about 50% a year on average over the last 3 years, the real key with Bitcoin is just to be able to hold on to it and stomach the volatility. And we have conditioned our shareholders and our bondholders to understand that we're long-term hodlers. And because everybody is aligned in that interest, we're able to weather that volatility and we end up doing very, very well as Bitcoin recovers.
Yeah, and Bitcoin is recovering though. We're still well off the all-time highs. We're up something like 70% since the start of the year. What do you attribute that recovery to?
I think right now there are two twin drivers, right? There's the macroeconomic concern about inflation, and as inflation takes place, people lose confidence in fiat currencies. And that means they start to realize that everything valued on cash flows is a currency derivative. And Bitcoin is not valued on cash flows. It's in a digital scarcity. The failure of the banks, Silvergate Bank, Signature Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, now First Republic Bank, causes people in the Western world to start to lose a little bit of faith in the banking system. And they remember that Bitcoin is a bank in cyberspace run by incorruptible software. So the phrase "be your own bank" has emerged as an investment idea in the United States, but it's really a matter of financial survival elsewhere. And so the combination of that concern about inflation and counterparty risk with banks is driving Bitcoin's adoption. It's also being driven, by the way, by the crypto crackdown. Mm-hmm. And as people lose faith in crypto exchanges, crypto securities, and cryptocurrencies, there's a natural migration of capital from those crypto ecosystems into Bitcoin, since it's viewed as the risk-off safe haven asset of the crypto space.
Okay, man. So first of all, do you mind pulling up the screen, Ben?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So this is the first thing, right?
That was the first thing I noticed, the smile.
He's smiling. He hasn't been smiling for quite a long time.
that was like an ear to ear shit eating grin. Like I told you guys.
Yep. This is the vindication of Michael Saylor. And let's get through some of the, and I think this is incredibly insane. For our audio listeners, right? It says, since MicroStrategy adopted a Bitcoin strategy, it is basically beating everything that hasn't adopted Bitcoin, right? So it compares it to, you know, the typical big tech stocks like Apple, Microsoft, Google, even Apple, you know, incredibly profitable company. It's up 51%. MicroStrategy is up 166%. Oracle Enterprise Software stocks, right, this is very kind of similar to what MicroStrategy does in a way. Oracle's up 72%. MicroStrategy's up 166%. Now, what are the long-term consequences of this? Well, just like on the nation-state level with Nayib Bukele, in the next halving cycle, in the next bull run, it doesn't matter what type of misrepresentation, spin, propaganda they try to throw at Bitcoin, it is going to become undeniable that adding Bitcoin to your treasury, whether you're a country or whether you're a public company, is a necessity in today's world. And there's no amount of spin. It's going to become undeniable. And I think that this is that we're witnessing the vindication of Nayib Bukele and the vindication of Michael Saylor happening at the same time. And what's interesting, Ben, is that this little, I'm going to call it a meme because that's what it is, this meme that Michael Saylor put up, it reminds me of this website called Priced in Bitcoin 21, which, Ben, I'm 100% sure you're familiar with. And what it does is it prices either a house, S&P 500, gold, oil, compared to Bitcoin. And on a five-year time scale, Bitcoin is up in every single scenario, right? If it comes to a new house, even with the housing, you know, cost basically 2Xing over the last 2 years due to the money printing, if you were living on a Bitcoin standard, housing would actually be 46% cheaper. The S&P 500 would be 48% cheaper to you. Gold would be 47% cheaper. Haha, Peter Schiff. Oil, 66% cheaper. The dollar, 66% cheaper. Life gets cheaper on a deflationary money. And I think that this is the beginning of something I think that we can't even imagine, Ben. And I think the only comparison is when Nayib Bukele made that announcement of making Bitcoin legal tender at Bitcoin 2021, it was impossible for Bitcoiners. We were talking about it. We were talking about the game theory. I have a really strong memory of that. Like, it's inevitable before a country adopts it. But the actual thing happening in reality, man, it was a magical moment, right? So what's your take?
That was a big moment. Like, I remember sitting there and having this incredible appreciation for, one, how important it was, but simultaneously how nobody else other than the people watching that live got how important it was. The world at large had no clue, and nor would they, or nor do they, for years to come. It's going to be so long before people understand the why and the how of all of this. And so this is the other thing that strikes me about this is, not only does this necessitate eventually people to have Bitcoin on their balance sheet, but it also drives home the fact that if you're not cash flow positive, you're fucked, right? Like, the only reason Michael Saylor can do this is because he runs a company that's profitable. And with the additional income beyond expenses, he then stacks that as sats into the company treasury, which the treasury then grows. You can't do that when your company is operating at a loss. And this is really going to begin to differentiate all of the companies that are out there. If you're not running cash flow positive and you aren't saving in Bitcoin, you're screwed. All these levered companies that are just zombies, they're going to get flushed.
100%. And it's market forces, right? It's market forces that are going to force a lot of these companies that perhaps they have an ideological stance against Bitcoin, and it's going to force them to say, we have to adopt this thing. Like, we have to put this on a treasury. You know, we have to basically be loyal to our shareholders. You know, we are a public company. And I think that that's where it's heading. And these are very, very, this is vindication for Michael Saylor. This is I told you so, right? And all the BS that they gave him, all this guy's crazy or whatever, this number is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, which is the crazy part, right? Anyways, I'm gonna go to this. I'm going to pivot to this, Ben, real quick, because it's a really fast one, right? But this is a Telegraph article, and it was basically talking about what happened in the beginning of the week, right? New Republic Bank consolidated into JP Morgan Chase, right? So it's a continuation of this trend where the smaller banks are continuing to consolidate into the bigger banks, right? So it's just literally a handful of banks, which is very convenient for the government because it makes it a whole lot easier to control, right? But the good news is, and we talk about this concept a lot on Simply Sessions, Ben, which is the idea of Bitcoin content creators are making Bitcoin content that is not getting out of the Bitcoin echo chamber. But slowly but surely, that Bitcoin echo chamber is breaking, right? So I'm going to give, I'm going to read the name of this article just to kind of give a little bit of context. And it's called Half of America's Banks Are Potentially Insolvent. This is how a credit crunch begins. And here's a graph of, you know, this is some bad stuff. But anyways, Ben, could you play the video of Tim Pool? And the reason is because the average everyday mainstream content creator is starting to wake up to the reality. But take a listen to what Tim recommended at the very end.
Regulators seized First Republic Bank and struck a deal to sell the bulk of its operations to JP Morgan, Chase & Co., heading off a chaotic collapse that threatened to reignite the recent banking crisis. Yeah, dude, you stuffed a wad of toilet paper in the hole. I don't think you're stopping the waters. JP Morgan said it will assume all of First Republic's $92 billion in deposits, insured and uninsured. It is also buying most of the bank's assets, including about $173 billion in loans and $30 billion in securities. JP Morgan's going to blow up. What? How can you assume loans, bad loans from a bad bank? They're trying to slow this thing down. As part of the agreement, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp will share losses with JP Morgan on First Republic's loans. You see, there they go. The agency estimated that its insurance fund would take a hit of $13 billion in the deal. JP Morgan also said it would receive $50 billion in financing from the FDIC. The U.S. government is propping up this deal because the system is imploding. I can't tell you what to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy Bitcoin. I already got some. I've been buying some recently.
Yeah. Yeah. We're at that part of the movie, brother.
Dude, I love seeing this because Tim was like my go-to during the craziness of like 2020, 2021. He was like the guy screaming like, this is insane. Everything's insane. Why is everything insane? He was like my doom porn for a good couple of years there. And to see him like, and he was kind of like on the Bitcoin train a little bit then, but like that's a pretty stark, like he's fallen down a new part of the rabbit hole, it would seem.
Yeah. Yeah. And shout out to Max and Stacy for really being the vanguard of that effort. And then there's been a couple videos which we've played on Simply Sessions of him saying, I regret, why didn't I listen to Max? Why didn't I do that? But it's getting to the point where he sees it and he's like, it's Bitcoin. Like, this is like, we don't have another alternative. And it's just so important because this is the heavy lift. The heavy lift is penetrating into the mainstream consciousness, which we have not been able to do as Bitcoin content creators, because it's been kind of seen as niche. But I think that over the next 5-10 years, Ben, I think what we consider niche now will become mainstream. And I think that Tim is an indication of that, him saying stuff like that on his very, very popular show.
So I don't know how often you're around normies, you're still, I imagine, having a difficult time, even with like banking failures, having people be like, oh, that's super interesting. Like nobody, like regular day-to-day people, like, I mean, Tim is kind of on top of things, but like, so the reason I say this is I love this meme so much that is going around, and Adam Denver Bitcoin shared it, and he just made such a good point. It's the one, the guy at the grill, like flipping burgers.
Yep.
And he's literally like, man, that's crazy. You catch the game last night?
Yep. Yeah, like, straight up.
And Adam said, if there was only one single meme to describe everything about the year 2023, it'd be this one. Whoever originally authored this just absolutely nailed it. It's so true, because like all of the regular people in my life that I discuss this kind of, or try to bring up this kind of stuff to, their eyes just glaze over. They have no idea what it means, what the implications are. And it's all like, they've got other stuff going on. They just don't care. And it's kind of like, all right, yeah, whatever. Like it doesn't affect me and it never will. So like, let's talk about the game. And you're like, this affects you directly. It's currently affecting you with your purchasing power. And it might affect you when you go to your bank tomorrow and it doesn't work.
Yep, exactly. No, dude, you literally hit the nail on the head with that meme, bro. I can't relate to normies anymore, bro. We're operating on different wavelengths, yeah. You know?
It's tough.
But that's why it's so important that people like Tim that do have the ear of a lot of normies that are addicted to the doom porn, and they see the clown world happening and they tune into that. But it's a very powerful message, Bitcoin. And then they start to think like, what do you mean Bitcoin? Like, what is this Bitcoin thing? And then that leads them
the opposite of what I just saw. Huh?
Exactly, right? Yeah. Then they start to listen. They stop listening to the guy in the suit on TV. Anyways, yeah. This was absolutely bonker news. The tiny kingdom of Bhutan secretly held millions of dollars in cryptocurrency. Well, that, you know, that happened earlier on the week. And then this also happened. This all kind of released around the same time. And the reason this news released, Ben, was because of the Celsius bankruptcy, right? But this is kind of old news. But the kingdom of Bhutan has been quietly mining Bitcoin for years. And, you know, that came out. This came out yesterday, and it was huge news. So, you know, it's just quietly mining Bitcoin, and then, well, bam, Bhutan plans a $500 million fund for crypto mining in the Himalayas. Bhutan's investment arm and NASDAQ-listed company Bitdeer plans to seek investor funds to worth up to $500 million that will be used to develop green crypto mining in the Himalayan kingdom. Fundraising targeting institutional investors will begin at the end of May. The goal is to set up carbon-free digital mining that taps Bhutan's abundant hydroelectric power, according to a joint statement Wednesday. Mining is the least risky way for Bhutan to tap crypto opportunities, and for now, the nation will focus on Bitcoin. Quote, it's important for us to look at assets that are low volume, high value, or digital assets for that matter, and try to position ourselves in a way that we can be competitive globally over time to build our economy. Do you hear that? A big strategy to build out the economy of the Kingdom of Bhutan is going to come from Bitcoin mining. And we know that a big percentage of the country's GDP is already coming from its hydroelectric power capabilities, right? And what happens, right? It says it's abundant, which means it's abundant. That means that there's an excess supply. And if there's an excess supply of power, of electricity, That is sweet, sweet Satoshis for Bitcoin miners. They absolutely love this. But Ben, this is crazy. So we have El Salvador locked down, the Kingdom of Bhutan locked down, guaranteed. Like this, they're basing their country's GDP and their economy and its future on Bitcoin mining. And that is a big investment. And I have a suspicion that is just the beginning of it.
Yeah. It's, I love seeing this. You're going to see more of it. And I would be surprised if this is not the only low-key country doing this, because you're getting real-world examples of people being like, hey, we have a ton of hydro here, and we don't have the transmission lines or the need for all the capacity that we have. Right now, we're just like letting the dam run wide open most of the time, or a good portion of the time. Why not just use all that energy all the time and have a buyer at all times? Why not? If somebody has access to some form of energy that is being wasted, it is, dare I say, absolutely moronic to not take advantage of it and to not be getting every bit of revenue that you can. It allows you to expand your economy. It allows you to expand your electric infrastructure. It allows you to do a lot of great things for stuff that you were literally throwing in the garbage. It's going to happen more.
Dude, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. You cannot resist Bitcoin's incentives. Bitcoin's incentives stay winning. Anyways, Ben, the big news of today is... here it is. Booyakasha. Robert F. Kennedy, big deal. And the reason that it's a big deal, he was just announced as a speaker at the Bitcoin conference, of which Ben and I are going to be at as well. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be speaking at the Bitcoin conference. And the reason that this is a massive deal is because Robert F. Kennedy has gone out publicly to advocate against central bank digital currencies. He says, this is an old tweet, it says the Fed just announced it will introduce its FedNow central bank digital currency in July. CBDCs grease the slippery slope to financial slavery and political tyranny. While cash transactions are anonymous, a CBDC will allow the government to surveil all our private financial affairs. The central bank will have the power to enforce dollar limits on our transactions, restricting where you could spend money, where you can spend money, when you could spend money, and when money expires. And it's not only Robert F. Kennedy Jr., it's also Ron DeSantis as well. Have a video for you guys. But first, before we get to that, take a look at Brad Sherman's response to this announcement, Ben. It's absolutely hilarious. It says, 60 years, the late, great Robert F. Kennedy went after tax evaders as U.S. Attorney General. Today, his son is slated to speak at a conference for tax evaders. I followed up with inflation evaders asterisk because I think that's what he meant. But anyways, here is his take on specifically on cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. It says, cryptocurrencies led by Bitcoin along with other crypto technologies are a major innovation engine. It is a mistake for the US government to hobble the industry and drive innovation elsewhere. Biden's proposed 30% tax on cryptocurrency mining is a bad idea. Yes, energy use is a concern, but Bitcoin mining uses about the same as video games, and no one is calling for ban on those. The environmental argument is a selective pretext to suppress anything that threatens elite power structures, Bitcoin, for example. Some advocate tight controls of cryptocurrency to prevent their use by criminals, but it isn't just for criminals who want privacy. So do dissidents and ordinary citizens. Governments harass their enemies and crush dissent by controlling accounts and payment platforms. Until we restore trust in government, we need cash and crypto to ensure freedom. Now, that isn't just the bullish news. The bullish news here is this is a bipartisan thing. The two most popular, they're both in second place. So on the Democratic side, we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and he's trailing Joe Biden. And then on the Republican side, you have Ron DeSantis, who's currently the governor of Florida, who is in second place to Donald Trump. That is crazy. So there's a non-zero chance that in 2024, there might be a Bitcoin president in the freaking White House. This is nuts, dude. Anyways, Ben, do you mind playing the clip with DeSantis?
Here it goes.
But the danger of the digital currency is that, one, they want to make that the sole currency. They want to get rid of crypto, which my view is like, if you want to invest in crypto, it's up to you. You can do it. I mean, like, you can make those decisions. But they don't like crypto because they can't control crypto. So they want to put everything in a central bank digital currency. And I guarantee you, if they're able to ever get away with that, they will impose ESG and social credit scores onto that. And that's going to be a huge reduction in freedom for people in this country. And so what we've said, what we're going to say in Florida is they haven't done it yet. I don't think Congress would authorize it. But if the Fed or the Treasury tries to do it unilaterally in Florida, we'll have a prohibition against that. And I think that that's ensuring your financial independence and making sure that we don't have a financial surveillance state where they know every transaction that you're making. I think that that's fundamentally wrong. So we're recognizing the dangers with this agenda.
Dude.
Damn, strong word. I love seeing stuff like that where individual states are effectively drawing road signs and directions to where the most freedom is.
Yep. And then that creates competition between the different states. But what I'm most bullish about, Ben, because it's been kind of like a troubling pattern, is that it started to become partisan a little bit. Like the Republican states and the Republican senators are friendly towards Bitcoin. And then it was on the Democratic side that were like, they were a little bit more hostile. But that all just changed. Yeah. That all just changed, man. So I am so incredibly bullish. I can't believe if we were having these discussions 5 years ago, we would have been laughed out of the room.
Well, and think of because I mean you're gonna have each group is effectively they're gonna have to choose their candidate, right? Like, I mean, maybe Biden will just run again and they'll just default to him, but if not, like, automatically just picture the debates, like the debates within the parties deciding who's gonna be their official nominee. And like, even just on the Republican side, having DeSantis in there, like pointing at CBDCs being like, this shit smells funky. We need to not be doing this. And then it's clear that even though there's a possibility that you might not see as much of it this time around, it's now on the world stage and it's on it's on the ballot now, effectively, is what's happening.
Yeah, 100%. It's on the ballot. And, you know, one of the things that I like, Ben, as well, is that Ron DeSantis isn't just all talk, right? Like, he's coming through and it was just announced today, says if you could pull it up, if you don't mind. Says DeSantis anti-CBDC bill just passed the House and Senate. I brought a select few of our members up to Florida's Capitol to meet with the governor's team, the chief financial officer team, the Office of Financial Regulation. In order for us to push legislation, we have to build relationships with our elected officials. The House voted on our bill while we were there. So this is now it's just missing basically DeSantis signing off on the bill, but we already know how he feels. Now, so there's that side, right? There's the side of freedom. You know, it's bipartisan. We have a Democrat who is in second place for the presidential candidacy. We have a Republican. And then let's talk about the forces of darkness. This is the party of green. And let's see what they're doing. So this is something that we've been covering on Simply Sessions for quite a while now. We were speculating how the Biden administration felt for a very long time based on patterns that we were picking up, right? And those patterns were basically everything that Nick Carter laid out in Operation Choke Point 2.0, Caitlin Long's bank, which was rejected a federal banking charter, but they really came out of the closet when the White House released uh, the the economic report of the president, and it's a yearly release. And in that report, I think this quote says it best. The amount of attention given to digital assets is substantial, especially when viewed in comparison to other areas of financial services that have arguably been far more detrimental over the past few weeks. The assessment is striking in its definitive tone and broad brush strokes, right? And for anyone who doesn't remember, 20 pages were dedicated to making the case as to why central banking is a good thing, why you need a state for money, and you can't have money without a state, and why central bank digital currencies are the future, and why Bitcoin is fundamentally a bad idea. And of course, they use financial stability, they use the environment, and they use terrorism and money laundering and all the buzzwords that we're used to hearing, right, as the excuses as to why, right? But we know now that's BS based on, look, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. It's not just Bitcoiners saying this, we're laying out the case. Of course, on the Republican side, you have Ron DeSantis saying that as well, right? So I don't agree with that narrative. I think it's a BS narrative. I think it has to do with they want to be able to control these things. So this was the big breaking news of this week, which was Biden proposes a 30% climate change tax on crypto mining. We already had a response by, you know, the by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. basically saying that was BS. You know, it was over to quote him. Right. It's not Bitcoiners. It's not our opinions. He says it's somewhat overstated. It uses as much energy as the video game industry, not to mention that Bitcoin mining uses isolated energy. That's why it's cheap. That's why it makes sense to mine there. But anyways, let's take a look at some of the reasons some of the reasons they gave. Right. So the White House is trying to persuade Congress to pass a 30% tax on the electricity used in cryptocurrency mining in the next federal budget in order to minimize the nascent industry's impact on climate change. Quote, crypto miners' high energy consumption has negative spillovers on the environment, quality of life, and electricity grids where these firms locate across the country. The president's Council of Economic Advisors argues in a blog post that they will appear on the White House website on Tuesday, to which Yahoo News gained advance access. The post will lay out the case for the digital asset mining energy excise tax, which the CEA writes is, quote, an example of the administration's effort to fight climate change and reduce energy prices, bro. I feel like at this point they're spitting in our faces. Anyways, yeah. Currently crypto mining firms do not have to pay for the full cost they impose on others in the form of local environmental pollution, high energy prices, the impacts of increased greenhouse gas emissions on the climate. Like, dude, like it's not Bitcoiners debunking this. You have a Democratic presidential candidate literally saying what they're saying is a misrepresentation. It's a spin. It's a narrative, right? And I think that's what makes Robert F. Kennedy extremely powerful. And that's why I'm so hyped that he's speaking at the Bitcoin conference.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bipartisan now. And again, I'm going to give a shout out to some of the more like progressive Bitcoiners out there, because they're also seeing the value of it. Jason Mayer, he wrote The Progressive's Case for Bitcoin. Just got launched by Bitcoin Magazine. He's going to be down in Miami, and he's going to be on the show tomorrow night for Why Are We Bullish? But like, we need more people like him saying, like, because again, Bitcoin's an open network. It can contribute value to everyone. It's just you need people in your cohort that see how it benefits you, because it literally does benefit everyone. And so you're now starting to see progressive voices be like, well, I mean, like, it's useful for us in this way. And you're going to see a lot more of that. I think, like you said, presidential Democratic candidate, that's pretty striking to me. Like even a Republican presidential candidate is striking to me. But like, again, I assumed we wouldn't see a ton of Democrats jumping on, but here we go. Gradually, then suddenly, I suppose.
Gradually, then suddenly, and I think we're in the suddenly. I think we're in the infancy, the very beginning of the suddenly phase, for sure, man.
I think so. I want to, Nico, you got to give my meme a rating here in regarding to some of the FUD around the environmental stuff. I got to say, I love the cleanup Bitcoin Twitter handle, because they get like all of the engagement that they get is just Bitcoiners trolling them. So I got to share this one. I'll read from it first. Basically, they said, in Montana and across the nation, Bitcoin mining has caused devastating environmental impacts. Check out at EWG's excellent case studies. And then they have like this image, and I'll show you here. But they have this image of a field. And it's like they almost look like fortresses with barbed wire or razor wire surrounded by open prairie. So I took the woman from from that horror movie.
Heather Key, right?
I backdropped her with like a beautiful sunset over the open prairie, and she's screaming her face off. Yeah. Anyways, it's so laughable.
That's a great meme, bro. And for that, Ben, I'm gonna have to give it a Buddha.
Oh, awesome. I love it.
Yeah, that's my meme score. What would you rate that meme, Ben?
I mean, I'd rate it.
Wait. Before, hold on. You have to cue the epic music.
Okay.
All right, Ben. No pressure. No pressure.
One brand new pair of sick ass sunglasses.
Oh man.
Oh jeez.
That was fun.
It's coming up. We're kind of a quick before you go, maybe together we should plug our plug our little event that we've got going on. Here's the page for it. Beautifully done. Art is not dead. We'll be in Miami together on Tuesday, May 16th. At Bitcoin Grove, 11 till 3-ish, something like that, 11 till 2 or 3, something like that. Anyways, you can, if you want to come down, Nico is going to get his hair dyed by my beautiful wife, Mrs. Sessions. He's going to get a streak. We shall then touch the tips together. Here's the description. Upon successful hair dye treatment, two streaks shall come together to be as one. Will touch the tips result in a massive price pump? Is this part of Yellow's prophecy? Was this the trigger Balaji foresaw in his $1 million price prediction? No one can say for sure, but you can be damn sure that attending will make you part of the Touch Tips tribe forever. So come on down. You can go to btcsessions.ca/touchtips and grab a ticket. We'll do something live there, I imagine. Even as we'll maybe do a little something, and I've got some swag to give away as well. And DW in the chat says they're gonna cross the streams. Yes, new hashtag being born. Cross the streams, touch the tips. All of the things will be crossing and mishmashing. I don't know what's gonna go down, but it's
gonna be madness, bro. It's gonna be madness. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Really excited. It's always a privilege and an honor, Ben. Guys, this was your Simply Sessions.
Good to see you, man. Talk to you soon.
See you, bro. Peace.
All right, everybody. A few more things before we clock out. I got some updates on a few apps and stuff you might want to check out. So of course, if you're using Blue Wallet, if you've been using Blue Wallet for your Lightning solution, the custodial option, they are suspending that. They're no longer focusing on custodial Lightning. They're doing all full self-custody options. You can still use the Lightning stuff to link up to L&D hub and kind of run your own thing or link another external wallet. But you need to get your funds off. They were going to stop this entirely as of the end of April, and you had to get your funds off before then. They've extended the deadline to the end of May. So if you have not done it yet, go to Blue Wallet, check if you have any funds in a Lightning wallet that is specifically Blue Wallet, and move it somewhere else. If you want some good suggestions, Moon is really easy, M-U-U-N. You can move it to something like Breeze or Phoenix. If you really want, you can set up your own Lightning node on Voltage, or you know, on Start9 Embassy, or you know, if you really just need to move it quick, you need something simple out of the box. You don't want to set anything up. Wallet of Satoshi or Albi have custodial options where you can just send over instantly and then figure it out later. But go do it now if you haven't already done it. You don't want to get to the end of May and realize that you know you had 50 or 100 bucks sitting there and it's gone. All right, so do it. Also, speaking of Albi, shout out to Albi. They just launched their Nostr Wallet Connect, now available on Umbral. And I'm sure it'll come to other node options soon. It says that Nostr Wallet Connect allows users to import their existing Bitcoin Lightning wallets into apps. Developers can offer one-click or even automated Bitcoin payments with just a few lines of code alongside the Zero Auth 2 wallet API. Albi's SDK now also includes the Nostr Wallet Connect API, which exchanges payment requests and Lightning invoices securely over the Nostr protocol. The dedicated Albi relay ensures the payments and messages are not published, but reliably sent to the receiver. Apps are able to conduct payments on users' behalf and depending on permissions given by the user and receive a pre-image back for confirmation. The long and the short of it is effectively your Albi wallet, your Lightning wallets, and Nostr are all becoming very much interoperable and easier to do and easier to self-host. And that's an awesome thing. So you're going to start seeing plugins. So, oh, you run, you know, an Umbral node with a Lightning node. Oh, you can plug that into Albi. Oh, you have an Albi wallet. Well, you can use that for Nostr, which is already the case. Oh, you have Albi wallet connected to your Nostr. You can log into this other website with it. You're going to see all kinds of interesting stuff pop out of this. So kudos to Albi. Just a side note for me, I've got my Voltage node linked up to my Albi, linked up to my my crowdfunding stuff, linked up to everything. I can see it in my browser. I have full control over it on my phone. Everything's right there. It's awesome. So check it out. Up next, Stacker News has launched subs for Bitcoin and Nostr. So Stacker News is effectively like a Lightning powered Reddit. So instead of upvotes, you zap people, you know, a sat every time you upvote something. It's linked into a Lightning wallet. You pull it out whenever you want. And they just, it used to be a lot of just Bitcoin content, but a lot of Nostr stuff started popping up because it's very Bitcoin adjacent. They felt the need to create different subs. So now you can go and sub for the Nostr feed or the Bitcoin feed, and there's probably going to be more coming down the pipe. So that's awesome. If you haven't been to stacker.news, check it out. Well worth taking a look. And then one more thing on the Nostr front. This is a cool new client that I came across called Primal. Primal.net. Good spelling. Primal.net. Pretty awesome feed here. They've got a lot of trending stuff over to the side. The most zapped notes out there. And just the whole flow of it is pretty badass. I've got to say it's pretty good. So anyways, check it out. Always love seeing new Nostr clients. A couple other things. Toddle Twins. I saw somebody talking about it earlier in the chat there. I can't recall who brought it up. I'm going to pull it because I got to say, I think it was, Rand. Rand brought it up, I think. Anyways, yes, this is Toddle Twins is basically a very libertarian-based children's cartoon show. So if you're kind of sick of the messaging that your kids are currently getting from other options, then maybe throw the Toddle Twins their way and see if they take to it. Anyways, they did a Bitcoin episode, which is super awesome. I need to show a clip from it because this is my favorite part of the episode. I thought it was so funny, but you got to take a look here. This is a clip from Toddle Twins. The Bitcoin, it's called Bitcoin and the Beast was the episode. Here we go.
So how do we make money that's easy to carry but hard to create?
Well, one solution is Bitcoin.
What about gold?
Gold is rare and hard to mine. But because gold was heavy and hard to carry, governments started using paper money that represented gold stored in a big vault.
Oh, like a coupon where you redeem $5 of paper money for $5 of gold.
Exactly. The government couldn't print more money without mining more gold, and it worked great. People built wealth. Society thrived.
paper money makes so much sense.
But then governments became greedy. Instead of making the same amount of paper money as gold, they just started printing new money out of thin air.
Paper money makes no sense.
People worked their whole lives saving paper money, only to lose everything to inflation when the government made creating money easy. When money is easy to make, society begins to break.
I love that. The quick turnaround. The paper money makes so much sense. But then governments printed way more money than there was gold. Paper money makes no sense. Tosses the bill off to the side. So awesome. Anyways, you can watch the full episode for free. Just go follow them on Twitter at Tuttle Twins TV. So T-U-T-T-L-E Twins TV. It's basically, they have an app that you can download and you can watch it for free. I'm going to have one of the guys, one of the creators on Why Are We Bullish, probably after Miami. So very excited for that. And also they said that a lot of the inspiration for the show, a lot of the information was based around the Bitcoin Standard from Safe. They even had Safe come on and do a little hello and love the episode. They also had Natalie Brunell come on for some Q&A with a live chat afterwards. Yeah, it was badass. So stoked for this. I got to show it to my daughter. She's probably old enough that she'd appreciate something like this. So I love seeing stuff like this. What else we got here? A couple of things. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Savadin, it's the 5-year anniversary of the release of the Bitcoin Standard. So kudos to Savadin. Awesome to see how much things have grown. Funny story, after he released the Bitcoin Standard 5 years ago, shortly thereafter, his first public speaking gig was in my city for an event called the Bitcoin Rodeo, which we're doing again this year, July 4th and 5th, by the way. So follow at the Bitcoin Rodeo. If you're in the Calgary area, come check it out. It should be a good time. That was Safe's first speaking gig after printing the Bitcoin Standard, which is kind of awesome. So why are we bullish tomorrow? Very excited. David Bailey from Bitcoin Magazine, host of the man that's putting on the Miami event. Jason Mayer, author of the Progressive Case for Bitcoin. And Brian DeMint, author of Bitcoin Evangelism, and also he's working with Orange Pill App, which I'm an advisor for as well. So I'm sure he's going to come talk some Bitcoin social layer stuff with us. It should be a good time. I'm very excited for this one. And speaking of Miami, it's coming up quick. Holy crap. Like, what is it? 14, the 2 weeks from today is industry day, I think. Holy hell. So if you haven't got tickets yet, you're running out of time. But 150 speakers, 15,000 attendees, 2,000 companies. This is my fourth time attending. I hit up the original one in San Francisco in 2019. Obviously, 2020 was locked down, but I went in 21 and 22, and I got to come back. It's a barrage on the senses. There's so much going on. It's very exciting. You can focus your time and you can do a ton of stuff. If you're looking for stuff to do while you're down there, here's a little sneak peek of what I'm going to be hitting up. Obviously Benico, will be doing that again, Tuesday, May 16th. I'm going to be at Thank God for Bitcoin. I'm going to be doing like a very basic kind of, wallet introduction for some of the people that are there that maybe aren't as familiar with Bitcoin and are starting their journey. So I'm excited for that. Also, I'm going to be hitting the Bitcoin cocktail party at the Gale Hotel on Tuesday, May 16th in the evening then. I've got my cold card workshop. By the way, alarm bells, there's one ticket left for this. Who's going to be the one to get it? One ticket left for the cold card deep dive workshop in Miami Beach, Florida on Wednesday, May 17th, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to start from scratch, get you through the basics of the cold card, set it up, use it, back it up, recover it. And we're going to dive into some of the cool features that a lot of people just don't even know are there. There's so much awesome stuff. So anyways, if you want to check that out, you can head over to my website, btcsessions.ca. It's over on the right under in-person workshops. That's where you can grab tickets. What else is going on? Of course, Bitcoin happy hour, the pleb party. That's going to be awesome. Is this the right one? Did I even click on the right one? No, I didn't. This is the one. Yes, Anders and Pubby, Toxic Happy Hour Pleb Party, Miami, brought to you by Swan.com. This is going to be a blast. I'm super excited. This was so fun when they did it in LA, or Anders did it in LA. And it's growing. If you're going to one party, go to the Toxic Happy Hour Pleb Party. That's going to be a lot of fun. The Friday night, I am hitting up Nostrich Karaoke. Some of you would love that. Some of you may cringe. I don't care. I'll be there anyways. Hit up Nostrich Karaoke. And then the Saturday, I'm going to hit up the Bitcoin 2023 after party. So holy crap, that's a lot. And that's like outside of the stuff that I'm speaking at the conference. I'm going to be doing a content creators panel. Nico's moderating. We've also got, I think Mick from Geyser Fund, and we've got Carla from the Crypto Couple that's going to be on it. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm also doing a chat with CoinKite and Cold Card and everything the first morning with D from CoinKite. And that's going to be a lot of fun too. So yeah, check it out. Should be awesome. Anyways, guys, I'm going to start rounding it out. Of course, like, subscribe, share. Those things help a ton. You can hit up the previously mentioned sponsors down below if you want to help in another way. HODL, HODL, CoinKite, Nunchuck, Start9, they're all down below. Grab a ticket for Bitcoin 2023. Use code BTC Sessions for 10% off if you're grabbing a last minute ticket. At least that'll take off a chunk of it. And if you really liked what you saw, you can grab me for a one-on-one session on my website, or you can drop a tip at either my tip page, which is just on my main website, hit the tips button. I set up Geyser Fund. Geyser is awesome. And I've already had a few tips come in. So you can just go to geyser.fund and you'll be able to find me. Just search BTC Sessions. Super simple. You can just use Lightning and send over a few sats, and you can leave a message with it as well. And I'll see it over the top. So again, I see Mick and James and Civil BTC Saber. So thank you guys already for the sats that have come in. But easiest way to tip the show is go to geyser.fund and search me. Anyways, with that, I am out. Thank you guys so much for watching, and I'll see you guys tomorrow on Why Are We Bullish for your daily session.
We have BTC Sessions. Bitcoin is F your money. You can't stop it. Get yourself some Bitcoin and hold it yourself. Peer-to-peer exchange. You know, people are going to organically come to it and gravitate towards it, especially in the world we're living in now. It's incredible. It's a great tool, and I can't wait to see it proliferate everywhere.
Bitcoin.